Good morning, Crossroads Church.
Good morning.
I don't hear you. Is your mic on?
Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning. There it is.
I got it. It's on now. All right. If you guys would stand with me as we get into the word, just a reminder, the yellow would be you guys reading along with me. John 6. 26 through 35 reads, Jesus answered them and said, truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves that were filled.
Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him the Father God has set his seal.
Therefore they said to him, what shall we do so that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God,
that you believe in him who he has sent.
So they said to him, what then do you do for a sign so that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread out of heaven to eat. Jesus then said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, always give us this bread. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst.
Good morning. I said good morning, Crossroads. I searched the world, but it couldn't feel me. Come on, sing with me. A man's empty praise and treasures that fade and never enough. Oh, then you came along and put me back together, and every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing, yes sir, come on, better than you. There's nothing, oh no, yeah. Woo, come on church, let's say, I'm not, come on, to show you my weakness, yes, my failures and flaws, Lord, you've seen them all, and you still call me friend, because the God of the mountains, how many know, he is the God of the valley, he's the God of the valley, oh, and there's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. There we go. Oh, there's, come on, sing it out this morning.
Better than you.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing better.
Yeah.
Come on, sing it out, church. I want to hear you this morning. Oh, there. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Listen.
Nothing's better than you.
No, nothing's better than you. Yeah. Come on, say. You turn mourning to dancing. Yeah. Come Come on, say, you give beauty for ashes. Yeah, yeah. You turn shame into glory. Come on, say, you're the only one who can. Come on, say, come on, help me say.
You turn mourning into dancing.
Yeah, yeah. You turn shame into glory, cause you're the only one who can. Come on, say, you turn, yeah, yeah, yes you do, oh,
oh. You turn bones into honey, you turn tears into
highway. You're the only one who can. Only one. Come on, back in the big choir. Oh, there's nothing that I believe. Oh, there's nothing.
Nothing
that I believe. Lord, there's nothing.
Nothing is
yeah. Oh, there's nothing. Say, oh, there's. All over, and I can find nobody better than you.
Yeah.
Come on, I need y'all to declare this for me right here. You turn grace, come on, say,
you turn grace into garden.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
you turn bones into army.
Oh, yeah, you turn seas,
yeah,
because you're the only,
you're the only.
Say,
you turn grace into garden.
Yeah, yeah.
You turn bones into army.
Oh, yes, you do.
You turn tears into highways.
You're the only one who can. Come on, say,
you turn grace into
garden. Yeah, yeah.
You turn bones into army.
You're the only one who can do it, Father.
Yes, yes,
yeah. You're the only one who, you're the only who can. Come on, give him some praise right there. Come on, give him some praise right there. Hallelujah. Glory.
Yeah, I'm not used to this microphone, this type here. Well, good morning, Crossway Church. Okay. Boy, isn't that awesome? I tell you, our praise team just gets better and better all the time, doesn't it? Amen. And I like that part where it says it turns your, you know, your praises to your weaknesses to, you know, strength. I tell you, it said, do not be afraid, and I'm trembling up here. You know, give me a message to preach and it'd be totally different. But I'm glad to be here this morning. And no, I'm not Josh, okay? I would never be able to fill Josh's shoes. I just want to, I'm not taking his place. I'm just trying to fill in a little bit till he gets back here. I've already seen some pictures on the Facebook of what he's doing down there in Florida. And he's in probably a better place. No, he can't be in a better place because we're in a better place, right? Amen. Anyway, we've got an exciting day ahead of us. I tell you, it's just going to be amazing, the great things that God has in store for us. This is Baptism Sunday. Amen? All right. According to According to Pastor Ronnie, we've got about somewhere between 6 and 12, 6 to 8, 6 and 12 maybe baptisms. I don't know about you, but that really cheers me up, because that means that those have been saved, but now they're not ashamed to be identified with Jesus Christ. And that's what baptism's all about. So we can rejoice with them today over that. And the second thing is, this is a brand new 3-week series that Pastor Ronnie will be bringing this week on talking about the lies we believe and the truth that sets us free. So we're going to have 3 weeks of that we will be going through. And so when we look at that and we start thinking about, you know, we as Christians, we really know who the real corporate is. And Satan, the Bible tells us over in John chapter 8, verse 44, that he is the father of lies. In other words, he's the deceiver, the one who wants to take the word of God from us and try to tempt us into believing a lie. Amen? And when I begin to look at that, how does he go about that? He takes the seeds of doubt, that he plants it into our minds, and then he begins to wants to contradict God's word. And so lying becomes Satan's primary weapon against each and every one of us. Now, we know if you're unsaved, you have the old nature. But when you're saved, he even tries to tempt us to believe the devil's lie. Amen? But we need to be wiser than that, okay? And when we think about that, Satan comes to tempt, and you can be sure when he comes to tempt us, it's going to fall in one of three categories. Now, I'm not going to preach Pastor Ronnie's sermon for you today, okay? Pastor Ronnie's going to come, and he's going to teach us this morning about what we find in 1 John chapter 2, verses 16 there. And it's the very first, and that is the lust or the desires of the flesh. And you say, well, what in the world is that? Well, without stepping on his toes on what he's preaching, it's talking about that old nature. You see, if you're saved, you have that old nature still within you, and that old nature is wanting to still have his way. That's the things of this world, and God says, tells us not, we're not to have fall in love with the things of the world. We've overcome that, and when we stop and think about that, you know, Pastor Ronnie was going to deal with that. I don't know if he's going to touch on Romans 7, but even Paul, talking about to prove the point that even as a saved person, we still have that temptation to fall into that trap of his. And Romans 7, you go home and read it this afternoon, and it talks about even the Apostle Paul had trouble with that. He said, the things that I want to do, which is live a godly life, I find myself not doing. And the things that I don't want to do, which is sin, he said, I find myself doing. And so what he's saying is there's a battle between the good and the evil. He said, it's sin that ends me. But he turns around and says, thank God, you know, that it's Jesus Christ that sets us free. And we can go over to 1 John chapter 4, verses 4. We all have that old nature still in there, but we have a new nature that's been given to us. Amen? Do you realize when you got saved, you received the Holy Spirit of God within you, and that gives you the power to say yes to Jesus and no to sin? And that says there that we are greater is he that is in you, that's the Holy Spirit, than he that is in the world, and that's the old devil. Amen? So we don't have to fall into the trap of believing his lies anymore, because we are overcomers in Jesus Christ. Let me put this in an example, and then I'll get off the stage so we can go on. Let me give you an example of that. In Psalm 122:1, which is a very favorite one, because you see the psalmist is David there, and he said, I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Now, let me ask a question. I'm not going to have you to raise your hands this morning, but I want to ask you, how many were tempted to stay at home today? How many were tempted? I see one over there raising her hand, who I told him not to. But, you know, it might be, hey, I work all week. That's the only day I got to stay in and sleep in. Or I've got grass to cut. It's getting way too tall. Or just I want to go to a ball game. That's a big, good one that comes up. You know, who wants to go over in St. Louis? You know, we can come up with all kinds of reasons. Amen. But when we stop and think about that, it kind of reminds me of what I've seen. Romy back there and Brand and Brittany, I don't know if you did you see that on Facebook where they sent that, where it was, let's see, it was Vicki Lawrence, you know, that plays Mama, and then there was, it was Ken Berry that plays the son. And this is what the way it goes in there. It says, Mama said, Ken Berry says this, the son, he says, "Now, Mama, you don't have to go to church to go to heaven." But Mama answers back. She said, "Well, you don't have to have it wear a parachute to jump out of an airplane, but it certainly helps." You know, I really love that. So that falls right in line with what the devil is trying to do to tempt us. Amen? And it said, you don't have to go to church to be saved. Well, you don't have to go to church to be saved. I'm going to throw this in. I wasn't going to. But I always tell people this. If your religion can't get you to church on Sunday, I doubt if it's going to get you to heaven for eternity. God doesn't take anyone kicking and screaming on his way to heaven. You make that choice, okay? But when I also go think of that thought about that classy Facebook thing, I also think of Hebrews 10:25, which says, "Do not forsake the assembling together of yourselves as the manner of some are, but encourage one another, especially as you see the day approaching." Now, I think you'll agree with me that I'm not setting dates, but we can see the day approaching more and more every day. Even I think it was Paul said, you know, it's closer today than when we first believed. Amen? So we know every day that we go is a day closer. And so what does that tell me then, Hebrews 10:25? That tells me that that's a command, not a suggestion. We want to pick and choose what we want, don't we, a lot of times out of the Bible. Well, this here means this. This, no, you got to take the whole thing, because otherwise the devil's going to tell you that you don't have to come to church on Sunday. But what do we see about that? It's a command, and it's not a suggestion. We here at Crossroads, we believe, and I believe you'll agree with me, we worship Jesus every day. 7 days a week, we worship Jesus. But we also believe what the Bible says, that we gather together corporately one day of the week on Sunday, the first day of the week, to honor him. Amen? So it's my prayer today that you came to worship Jesus Christ, to set everything out of your heart and out of your minds, but nothing but Jesus. And let's just sing our hearts out as the praise team continues to lead us. Let's get engulfed in what's going to take place in the baptism. And what we do when we come together, grow together, what we do, we're encouraging one another to do what? Did you notice in signs? Grow deeper. We grow deeper in our love relationship with Jesus Christ. We're growing deeper in our relationship with one another just because we chose to come here and tell the devil, "Get behind me, Satan." Amen. God bless you, and let's just enjoy what we're going to do here today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege that you give us to be called your children. Lord, I thank you for what's going to take place in just a few moments, the baptism of those candidates that came forward. And we rejoice with them that they chose to make this decision. Lord, I thank you for each and every person that hears today, the visitors as well as the church group, our family. Lord, just be with them and speak to our hearts. Lord, convict us when we need conviction. But Lord, help us to rejoice in what you're doing for us. We thank you, Jesus, for what Jesus done for us on the cross of Calvary. And may we never forget that. May we never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we give you thanks and praise for what's going to take place here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's children said, Amen. Amen.
Brothers, sisters, come on down to that river. Guaranteed you'll never be the same. There's a fountain from the heart of the Savior. Bring your sins and all your guilty stains. Let that river of life wash it all away.
Down to that river, guarantee you'll never be the same.
There's a fountain flowing from the heart of the Savior. Bring your sins and all your guilty stains. Let that river wash it all the way. Oh, come on down.
Don't be afraid, jump on in. The water is fine, it's healing in the river of life.
Oh, brothers, sisters, come on down to that river. Guarantee you'll never be the same. Brothers, sisters, come on down to that river. Guarantee you'll never be the same.
There's a fountain flowing from the heart of the Savior. Bring your sins and all your guilty stains. By the blood of Jesus, everything will change. The river of life, wash it all away. Oh.
Good morning. You ready to watch some baptisms? All right. Well, so I love reminding the folks before they come down here in the water. This water doesn't save anybody. What it does is shows what happened inside their heart. And so today you are going to get to witness the public profession of quite a few folks. So Megan Shreve, would you come on down here? Just a month ago, Megan here at the altar gave her life to Christ, and she'll tell you that it was a struggle for a little bit, and now she's experiencing the peace that comes with that, but also the challenges that come with it as well. So, Megan, have you asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior?
Yes, I have.
Amen. Based upon that public profession of faith, my sister, I baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. All right, the next person coming down is Felicia Orta. Come on down, Felicia. Felicia, have you asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior?
Forever.
Amen. Felicia is rededicating her life. She is just she wants everyone to know that she's living for Christ. And so, based upon that public profession of faith, I baptize you now, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. All right, Reese. If you have not yet met Reese, you owe it to yourself. Reese has a huge heart. She loves people, and she loves God. And so she is rededicating her life to the Lord and wants to do that through baptism today. So, Reese, have you asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior?
Yes, I have.
Amen. Based upon that public profession of faith, I baptize you now, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You may have recognized her out here on our worship team. All right, Austin, come on down. This is Austin Knicker. I'm going to have you turn around, Austin. Austin, have you asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior?
Yes, I have.
Amen. Austin, based upon that public profession of faith, I baptize you now, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Love you, brother. Trayton, come on down here. Trayton's been having a week. Last week, he gave his life to the Lord, and this week, I couldn't find him. I don't know if y'all saw me. This is who I was looking for. He was back here. He was just, I didn't see where he was at. So, Trayton, have you asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior?
Yes, I have.
Amen. Trayton, and this guy's about to turn 16, 2 days?
2 days.
All right. Man, spiritual birthdays.
I'm ready,
bro. Yes.
I'm ready.
All right, Trayton, based upon your public profession of faith, I baptize you now, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Love you. Thank you.
Come on, Miss Sarah.
You'll never believe this, but I think Sarah started coming to our church because of Molly. Molly's out there somewhere, I know. I'm sorry I didn't hear her. Yeah. Sarah, have you asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Amen. Based upon that public profession of faith, I baptize you now, my sister, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. All right, stand back to your feet. Worship team, come on back up, and let's continue to praise and worship. Amen.
I am who I am because the I am tells me who I am.
I am who I am because the I am tells me who I am. I am who I am because the I am tells me who I am. I am who I am because the I am tells me who I am. There is a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh yes,
yes, it's mine. It's mine.
And I've met the author of my story,
it's Jesus.
And it's mine.
Oh, it's mine.
It's mine.
It's mine. There
is a new name written down in glory, and it's mine.
Oh,
it's mine.
Oh,
I've met the author of my story. And it's mine, yes, he's mine. And he's mine, yes, he's mine. And he's mine, yes, he's mine.
Jesus is mine.
Everywhere I'll be, Jesus is mine.
Jesus is mine.
Jesus is mine. Everywhere I go, everywhere I'll be, Jesus is mine. Jesus is mine. Everywhere I go, everywhere I'll be. Everywhere I go, everywhere I'll be. Everywhere I go, everywhere I'll be. Jesus is mine.
Church, if you'll gather with me in this, Acts 4:12, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved.
Dude. your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King.
Resurrecting me, by your spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrection King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrecting King is resurrecting.
You were the word at the beginning. your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, a Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now?
What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, the King. What a wonderful name it is.
Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. You have no rival.
Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus
Christ,
my King. What a powerful name. Nothing can stand against what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
You have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign.
Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names.
What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, Christ my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Let's just lift that up one more time with everything you have.
sacrifice of praise right in this moment. Come on. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. Jesus, your name is powerful. Your presence is wonderful. Your love for us is beautiful. And God, we give you all of our attention in these moments. God, we lift up your name and we pray that you would open our hearts to receive your word, that you would continue to just fill this room, God, as we commit our lives to making your name great and to making heaven more crowded. In Jesus' name. Thank you. You may be seated. Crossroads kids, you can be dismissed.
Good morning. I was told that I got my mic wet, so who knows if it'll last this time. I want to start out by saying thank you. There's a couple of folks I wanted to say thanks to. And it just give me the signal, and I'll switch over if we can't get that out. I got a little too excited. Try this one. All right. I want to say thank you. First of all, I don't know if you saw the hot sheet or if you go to our hot sheet page, but crossroadschurch.faith/Sunday, and you'll see this each week. But I just want to thank you as a church for supporting the church financially. What we do here could not happen if it wasn't for you. And if you'll see this past week, you all were incredible for what we're doing this year. And so I want to say thanks to that. And then at the end of the service, I had asked a couple of men to volunteer for an assignment. They had no clue what was going to be involved with that. And 10 men showed up and helped us move a single mom here in the church. And so men, I think it was 5 of the youth or 6 of the youth, and then 4 or 5 other men from the church. So thank you guys for saying yes and being the hands and feet of Jesus. We're starting a new series called Lies We Believe and the Truth That Sets Us Free. The reality is this, that the only power that a lie has is if we listen to it. If you don't listen to the lie, if you won't let it affect your life, it won't. But we do the same thing with the truth. And so today, in the next 2 weeks, I want to really just share with you how that there's, I believe there's 3 lies. This is the devil's plan. This is his strategy. And there's 3 lies that he's going to bring after us. And the lie number 1 for this week is, you will not surely die. If you've got your Bibles, turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 3. And I'm just going to read, start in verse 1. And what you're going to see here is, you're going to see Eve struggle with lies that she was told by the enemy. And the enemy is still using those same lies 6,000 years later. In verse 1, it says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, 'Did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" Now, I want you to understand this. The first thing that the enemy is going to do is he's going to question God. He's going to question God's word. Some expert's going to come up and say, "Are you sure that that's what it means when it's plain?" That's what he did to Eve in the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of any of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, who's saying this? the serpent. Not only did he question what God says, now he is denying what God says. And the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die." He told that lie in the Garden of Eden. He's been telling that lie for the last 6,000 years. And there's people who believe that lie. "For God knows that when you eat of the, your eyes will be open." Now he's changing the word of God. "So when the woman saw the tree that it was good for food, and therein was the problem. She saw that it was good for food." I think you heard Brother Dave in his call to worship this morning mention that I was going to talk about the lust of the flesh today. And the lust of the flesh is seen right here, because Eve looked and she saw the fruit and she saw that it was good for food. And here the reality is that many of us, there are things in our lives that shouldn't be there, but they're good. They taste good. They look good. They make us feel better. And the problem isn't that that thing of itself is evil. The problem is God said, "Don't eat that fruit." That's why it was wrong. And the same thing is true for us. We see things that are good for us. And we tell ourselves that, you know what? It's not bad. This isn't going to hurt anybody else. But the problem is God says, don't do it. I don't care how healthy it is for you physically. I don't care what it does for your mental health. I don't care any of those things. When God says no, that's what he means. We struggle with that, don't we? And we justify, just like Eve did. We look at it and we tell ourselves that it tastes good. It looks good. This can't harm me. And then we start listening to the enemy. We listen to the enemy when he starts questioning God. We start listening to the enemy when he starts changing God's word around. And we listen to the enemy when he denies what God says. That ain't going to happen. He's fooling you. And all across Centralia, people are fooling themselves because they listened to the enemy. But it's amazing that we're not left with just this example. This is a bad example. This isn't an example of how to overcome temptation. So let's go and look at our example. Our example we find in the book of Luke, chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. I'll start reading verse 1 again. "And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness." And what had just happened is he had just been baptized by John the Baptist. And so he leaves that encounter, and here it is, "full of the Spirit, returned from Jordan, was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil." Now, a lot of times we read these 6 or 7 verses, and we see just this little minor temptation. But the reality is, for 40 days, Satan was coming up against Jesus, trying to find out, was he really the Son of God? Trying to find out, what was his plan and strategy? In verse 3. "And the devil said to him," just like the devil spoke to Eve in the garden, fast forward 4,000 years, and here he is with Jesus Christ himself in human form, the Son of God. "And the devil said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread.'" Oh my goodness, this is the enemy's strategy. He starts telling us, like, if this is true, and here's what I want to tell you is, you need to do what Jesus did. You don't need the bracelet, you just need to do what Jesus did. All right, quit asking the question if you're not going to do it, right? Let's just take care of, and here's what he did. "And Jesus answered him, 'It is written.'" You see, the problem is when the enemy comes against you and he starts questioning God's word, you start going and say, well, what does Google say about that?
Or what does my favorite podcast pastor say about that? Or what does Alexa say? I don't know. But here's what I do know. It doesn't matter. Because what matters is, it is written. And here's what Jesus said. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. This is where the enemy had gone. He did this to Eve and it worked. He had been doing it for 4,000 years and it worked like a charm. But our example is not Eve. Our example is not Adam. Our example is Jesus Christ, who the Bible tells us took on a form of humanity. He was tempted just like all of us have been tempted. And understand this, when he was tempted for food, but I tell you, that would have sounded really good to Jesus at that point because he'd gone 40 days without it. The Bible says that he was really hungry when this happened. Isn't it funny how the enemy, he knows exactly what to hit you with, when to hit you with it? And we act surprised. See, this is the strategy of the devil. This is what spiritual warfare is all about. But Jesus, he didn't think to himself, you know what, I could use a nice hamburger right now. He didn't tell himself, oh, you know what, a big old bowl full of Cap'n Crunch with nothing but berries. Boy, that would be just, but that would hit the spot. He didn't tell him, you know what, a ribeye coming off the grill, seared perfectly. You know, no, what he said was, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. And here's what God is saying is, just because it's good, just because you think you want it, just because it will make you feel better, you don't have to do it. You don't have to partake of it. That was the example of Jesus. I don't know if you ever watch America's Got Talent, but not too long ago, they had a singer on there, and he sang a song that John Lydon had written called Imagine. I just want to go, it's beautiful. A beautiful rendition of it. Beautiful vocals. And as you hear these words that I'm going to read to you, it sounds like this just sounds, I mean, it appeals, it sounds good. But here's the lyrics to Imagine. It says, imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. Now, I just want to ask this question. Why in the world would the best, I mean, heaven. Heaven is like, that's the best that could possibly happen. That's the best situation. But why in the world would, of all the things that we want to imagine that doesn't exist, why would we want to imagine that heaven doesn't exist? Because of the next line. No hell below us, above us, only sky. See, that's why we want to imagine that there's no heaven, because they want to not think about the reality that there is a hell. Imagine all the people living for today. Well, I don't have to imagine that. I just wake up. We see it. Then we go into verse 2. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for. And church, I just want to tell you something. Don't you fall for it for one second that someone tells you that you can't love America and love Jesus Christ. There are some pastors that are standing in pulpits that want to browbeat. And I'm here to tell you that I thank God that I'm an American. I thank God that I can come and I can stand up here and I can preach and I don't have to worry about someone coming through those doors and arresting me. Now, in a couple years, that might not be the case. But today, why can we do that? Because of the freedoms that we have in this country. Don't fall for the enemy's lie. Because remember this, it's not about not having countries. Listen to this next line. Nothing to kill or die for, and no religion too. See, that's why they want to erase borders. Because they don't want us to have any kind of identity within ourselves. Because on just about every piece of currency that we have, it says, in God we trust. Now, I know we're not living like that. I realize we live in a post-Christian culture here in America. But John Lennon, writing this back in the 60s, here's what he's thinking. Boy, if we didn't have any countries, we wouldn't have religion. And folks, I'm against religion too. I love what Dave said. If your religion isn't powerful enough to get you to church on Sunday, I doubt that it's going to get you to heaven for eternity. But see, so what the world tells you is, so just don't have anything to do with any kind of religion. Imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say that I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will be as one. There's only one time when that will happen, and that is after Jesus Christ rules and reigns on this earth for 1,000 years. So, church, we have something to fight for. What are we fighting for? We are fighting for the opportunity to tell people about the gospel. What's the most important thing we as Christ followers should be doing? We should be telling people about the gospel. I'm excited to see 6 people get baptized this morning. I'm excited that you're going to, in next month, September 10th, you're going to see more people making a profession of faith. I'm excited that we meet here and we call ourselves Crossroads Church. We follow after Jesus Christ because of the gospel. And we do all of that so that there are people who will raise their hand, who will open up their heart and will call upon Jesus Christ. Not so that we'll all get along. Because that just doesn't happen. I was looking up some quotes on hell and I saw this one. Better to be in hell with me than in heaven alone. That's a lie. The problem is you'll not find out about that one until it's too late. I've heard some people say, I don't want to go to heaven because all my friends are down in hell and I want to go party with them. But you ain't going to be partying in hell. Have you ever heard someone say something like hell on earth? Like, yet not even close. I know it can get bad. It can be tough. The wheels of life can fall off. But the rest of that quote should go like this. Life is like hell until we die. And then you find out it wasn't so bad. This Eskimo was being witnessed to by a pastor. And he said, if I did not know about God and sin, would I go to hell? And this pastor incorrectly said, no, not if you did not know. And the Eskimo said, well, why did you tell me? Now, that's funny. But the reality is this, the Bible tells us that no one is without excuse. See, you can, when the Christian station comes on, you can change the channel. You start hearing the Word of God preached, you can turn the volume down. But that doesn't make you inexcusable. Ignorance may be bliss while we live here on this earth, but it will not be for eternity. Proverbs 18:17 says it this way. The one who states his case first seems right. And you know, that's what the world is doing. The world's telling us, imagine, like John Lennon, imagine there's no heaven. And if there's no heaven, no hell. And we all just get along as one happy group of people. Boy, I think we all could say amen to something like all of us getting along. But I'm not giving up heaven so that we'll just be happy with each other. And God is not giving up hell because he made hell for the devil and his angels and all those that he is convinced to follow him. I shared with you a minute ago that Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. Do you know at the end of that 1,000 years and that whole time Satan has been bound up? He'll be released for a short period of time. And the Bible tells us that he convinces a group of people, unnumberable, to go against Jesus Christ, who had just been ruling and reigning for 1,000 years. I would say impossible. You know, a lot of us tell ourselves when we think about the Adam and Eve in the garden, I wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't have taken of the fruit. And the bottom line is this. It doesn't matter if it was that fruit. Each of us have our own fruit. And we partake of it because it looks good, because we think that it's going to help us. And so There is a lie that many people believe, and that is that we will not die. Let me tell you the truth. It is written in Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. It is appointed unto men, and ladies, it doesn't mean just the guys. This is gender neutral right here. It is appointed unto humanity once to die, and after this, the judgment. Let me tell you what else it's written. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28 says this, and do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both the soul and the body in hell. You know, it's amazing. We as parents will teach our kids to obey the laws to keep them out of jail, and yet we won't teach them God's word to keep them out of hell. We missed it. It is written, Revelation 21 and verse 8, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. The reality is this, maybe have heard the conversation of Nicodemus with Jesus when Jesus told him, you must be born again. And the reality is you either have two births or you will have two deaths. Nicodemus says, can I possibly go back into my mother's womb? And then Jesus said, no, that's not the birth I'm referring to. We're talking about a spiritual birth. Anybody who takes their last breath on this earth that hasn't experienced a second birth, they will experience a second death. The first one when this body dies, and the second one at the end of the judgment. It is written, 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 9, they will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. I got to tell you, there are pastors who will take that verse and they'll say, well, hell is just being separated from God. Would you read the first part of that verse again? Punished with everlasting destruction. That's what hell is going to be like. Remember the kids went over to the Ark Encounter a few weeks ago, and one of the things that they got to experience was this virtual reality tour of watching the ark get built. And so basically it started there and it flew them back in time, and they could see the ark being built. And after it got built, all of a sudden, this was a 4D environment. The thing started shaking and then it started raining. They watched the door get shut. And they're outside of the ark now. And it starts raining and the water starts coming up. It says here in 2 Thessalonians 1:9, shut out from the presence of the Lord. And that's what everyone on this earth, when that ark got shut, experienced. When they physically died, they went into eternity. Could you imagine the people beating on the ark? Can you imagine them clinging on until the storm and the movement got too much? And yet, you know what? That's happening today, every day. Mark 9, verse 43 says these words. It says, if your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell where the fire never goes out. I'm going to read that for you one more time. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life. See, we look at life as this. God looks at life as when this ends and we enter into eternity. And it's better to enter life maimed with two hands than with two hands to go into hell where the fire never goes out. You know, this keeps more people from turning to Christ than anything else. They're afraid of what they've got to give up. Oh, they got to give up cussing. They got to give up drinking. They got to give up partying. And because of the ability to say cuss words, they'll lose out on an eternity in heaven. Because of the ability to go out and get smashed, they'll miss out on what Jesus Christ did for them. And because on Friday night, they want to go out and they want to have fun, and then they want to wake up talking to the porcelain God, they'll miss out on heaven. Imagine this. Imagine the moment after John Lennon died, he found out the truth about heaven and hell. And today he is burning. Imagine a young Ronnie Tabor lied about a stolen bike to his dad. We lived over in Germany, and the bike I had, I'd taken it to the swim bod, and I put it up, and I was too lazy to put the lock on it. Went in and had a good time. I came out, and it was gone. For 6 months, my dad was, "Hey, where's your bike?" "Oh, I've got it over here." I lied to my dad. Another time, dad asked about my bike. "Where's your bike? I haven't seen you riding." Well, the day came when the movers came to pack all our stuff up from Germany and move it to America. I think my dad knew for a couple months that that bike was no longer in my possession, but he never said anything. He said, "Ronnie, go get your bike." Couldn't lie anymore. Imagine a little Ronnie Tabor stealing. I know, it's probably impossible for you to picture this. But over there in Germany, I had gone into the shopping center and I became proficient at shoplifting. I had this jacket that had inside pocket. It was one of those that you can turn inside out. And so I had the pockets, I accidentally had a hole in it, and I could put something in there, and it wasn't in there anymore. And so I got a lot of Reese's peanut butter cups, and then one day I felt like the manager was watching me, and so I removed everything from my pockets, and I put them back where they belong. As I'm walking out the door, he says, "Young man, I want to speak with you." Took me back into the room, checked my jacket. Thank God there was nothing in them. Put an end to my stealing career. Now, I didn't confess to all the other things I had stolen. You know, Jesus, he changed the standard. He says if a man looks on another woman lustfully, he's committed adultery. Imagine Ronnie Tabor, an adulterer. Has anyone in here told a lie before? Has anyone ever stolen anything? Am I the only shoplifter? All right, I need to preach to this side. You guys are so good. You don't do anything wrong, all right? Any adulterers over here? No, don't raise your hand. The word's going to get out. Crossroads Church is full of a bunch of liars, thieves, and adulterers, and they're led by one. But imagine this. This past Thursday, I had the privilege to preach at Betty Eskew's funeral. I got to share with everybody that Betty had made her profession and put her faith in Jesus Christ. And that at the moment that she died, the person that she saw next was Jesus Christ. I don't know what that trip was like from that bed in Mount Vernon to eternity for her, but it had to be fun. Exciting. It was worth everything that she'd been through up to this point. Will you join me as I pray? Dear Heavenly Father, God, you have asked us to accept the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, and yet so many of us have believed the lie of Satan. We believe that, you know what, we're not going to die. It's not going to happen that way. Yet, God, it is written in your words. That's just not the case. God, I thank you that one day that I realized that I was a sinner, I was a liar, I was a thief. And God, I called out. God, I thank you that Betty had called upon you and the grace that and the gift that you gave through Jesus Christ. God, I thank you for the six today who made that profession public about what you've done in their heart. And one day all of us get to take that same journey that Betty took with Jesus. God, I thank you for that. If you would, stand to your feet. I don't know if you're familiar with a song, but there's an artist named Jelly Roll. Anybody ever know Jelly Roll? That's the kind of church I got. Okay. Well, Jelly Roll, whom I stood this close to Jelly Roll one day. We're walking around Pigeon Forge, and my little brother says, "That's Jelly Roll." And then I got to take his picture with Jelly Roll. If I would have known who Jelly Roll was, I'd have got my picture with him too. Jelly Roll wrote a song called "Halfway to Hell." And as you listen to the words, Jelly Roll was raised in the church. He was raised by a good mama. He probably had a good grandma too. But somewhere along the way, Jelly Roll left the church. Quit doing what mama asked. And in the chorus, he asked the question, am I halfway to hell or am I halfway to heaven? I'll give you the answer. You either have a 100% on your way to heaven or you are 100% on your way to hell right this moment. You don't have to imagine. The reality will come to us one day. All of us. We all will take that last breath. I shared with you that Carrie and I, just a few weeks ago, were driving down Interstate 64. I'm doing 75, and a car hits us from behind, going at least 100 miles per hour. Now, we got off that road with no other injuries, no other damage to us. Carrie, I think, just had a little bit of bruising from her phone hitting her. But I was talking to a friend this past week, and he shared with me the same thing happened to his mom, but her car got twisted around, rolled off the highway, flipped over, blew up. And that day he lost his mom. Don't you think for a second that Carrie and I take for granted the fact that we are here today. Don't you think for a second that we weren't praising God that we didn't have our grandsons in the back seat when that happened. The question I have for you. Maybe you walked into these doors this morning. You came because someone bugged you. You came because someone asked. But the truth of the matter is that you feel like Jelly Roll. Am I halfway to heaven or halfway to hell? Friends, listen to me. There is no halfway. And if today you want to know 100% that you're going to heaven, raise your hand. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to pray with us. And I would ask you, if you've never asked Jesus Christ in your heart, say these words. And everyone, those of you who are regular Crossroads attenders, I want you to say the words too. All right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I know I'm a sinner. And I know that you sent Jesus Christ down to this earth to die for my sins. And 3 days later, you raised him from the dead. God, show me how to live my life now. To live your purpose, your plans. In Jesus' name, amen. If you did that for the first time today, I would encourage you to take one of the pink cards and fill those decision cards out. And right now, the worship team is ready to sing "There's a New Name Written Down in Glory." Sing with us.
I was lost in shame, story, and he's mine. Yes, he's mine.
Sin had left me blind, but Jesus opened my eyes. Now I can see the light. I'm so glad he changed me.
Now I'm walking free. I've got the victory. See, it's all over me. I'm so glad he changed me.
See, I a new creation in Christ. The old has gone, there's new life. I live by faith, not by sight. There is a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Yes, it's mine. I've met the author of my story, and it's mine. Yes, he's mine. There is a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Yes, it's mine. I've met the author of my story.
I am who I am because the I am tells me who I am. I am who I am because the I am tells me who I am.
There is a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Yes, it's mine. I've met the author of my story.
It's Jesus.
And he's mine.
Crossroads. Oh, that was weak. That was weak. Good morning, Crossroads. What? Good morning, Crossroads. That's what I like to hear. Good morning. Good morning, guys. I'm nervous. Okay. All right. I'm not Dave. Okay. And I, just like Dave said, I'm just doing my best, all right? No, but as I was at work last night, right? And I was just sitting there. I was like, what am I finna say? I'm nervous. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to say. But God had placed something on my heart, and it's a question that I need you to ask yourself real quick. And it's what the question is, what has the enemy tempted you with? Oh, that's a good question. Y'all got quiet, real quiet. What has he tempted you with, though? I can say mine has been very, very, very all around. But through it all, God has blessed me through it, through just a little feed off of what Pastor has said. I used to steal myself, okay? All right. I used to be in Walmart just stealing earrings. Like, yeah, I'm out of here, guys, okay? I'm running. No. And one day, we got caught, and it was the 4th of July. I would never forget it. The 4th of July, the guy, he was a secret shopper, too. Y'all know Walmart be having them secret ones. Carly? No. And I had on shorts, and they were reversible. It's so funny, and because my pockets were in the inside, right? So I'm like, okay. So we're in the aisle. I changed my shorts around, and there's a guy walking past, and he's like just looking at me. And I'm just like, okay, I think he saw me. I don't know, but we gonna chase it, right? So I was with my brother and everything, and as we was walking out, he was like, hey, stop. I was like, oh, Jesus. I was like, okay, bro, listen. You just keep on walking, because they don't know you stole. They only know I stole, right? So I told him to keep on walking, and my cousin came and picked me up, but it ended my stealing career, too. I can tell you that. I was not trying to steal no more. I said, Jesus, I'm not taking it, but no. What has the enemy tempted you with, though? There's a lot of things in this life and in this society that we get dangled, especially in the younger generation. Facebook and all them sites. I just can't keep up no more. Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat. I'd be like, man, I'm old. They'd be like, you got Snap? I'm like, no. Text me, call me, you'll get a response. But I just had to ask that because I was like, man, all the things that Jesus endured for 40 days, come on now. That man, Satan tempted him with bread. He said, no, I can't do it. My father said, it is written in the word. He tempted him with everything that he could, but no, he ended up still turning and saying no. So that's a good question to keep asking yourselves. What has the enemy tempted you with? What is your daily temptations that the enemy has keep placing into your face and in your life, right? So we just have to figure that out and just know where we go. And I have more to say, but I ain't going to say that. I ain't going to keep y'all long. He didn't already preach. I ain't going to preach to y'all this morning. But I just was in a daze that God had placed that on my life, and because just all the temptations that has came out of everything that society thinks is the norm. So just ask yourself that as you go through the week, as you get ready, equip yourself with the word of God. That's my best advice to tell you today, right? Yeah, I got my word all day, every day. I make sure that he knows my heart. He knows where it's at, and I sit down and I read this word, and I go in, and, you know, my auntie used to have us in a drill team. And we used to have to learn this Bible backwards and forwards to quote this in front of thousands of people, thousands. And so just knowing that we have to be equipped with the word of God is the biggest thing when the enemy comes to tempt us. And when he comes to say, hey, listen, I got this for you, but we know what God has for us, right? He has way more in the promised land than what the enemy has for us today, right? The enemy's blessings are not blessings. The enemy's, well, technically, he tried to bless us, right? He'd be like, hey, I got a little blessing for you right here. Come on over. No. We just have to be mindful, steadfast, and just know that God is the way, the truth, and the light, right? So I won't dabble on that because I could go on. I had a whole little, I was like, okay, I'm a little preach. No. But so just some hot announcements and everything. Friends and Family Day is September the 10th. Guys, please invite everybody that you can. Let's pack this sanctuary like it ain't no tomorrow, all right? I want to see all these seats in the hallway, the auditorium, wherever we got to put them, we going to put them, right? We're going to stack it up in here. So please invite. That is next, coming up very soon. Today after church, Miss Johnson, I call her Miss Johnson because she's just my teacher, right? I grew up with her 15 years. Love her to death, a little longer than that. But she has a meeting at the end of the service. For anybody that wants to volunteer, if you don't know what the children's ministry is, she can give that in depth in their volunteering meeting today. So if you want to volunteer in the children's ministry, please go to that. I believe they have some sandwiches and everything afterwards. September the 3rd is Recovery Sunday. That is at 10:45 a.m. in the sanctuary. And then September the 23rd is Mission is Build a Bed out at the church pavilion at 10 a.m. We do got one more announcement. We do have our night of worship coming up very soon in October. So now I'm talking to the youth. Woof, 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 woof. Yeah. We are coming back with a round two of worship for the youth. So yeah. You. Yeah, you. And you. And you. And you. Y'all gonna love them, like always. Right. That's what the song says now. But please get with me after church. So I know if you're interested, know where to be able to help you, place you, and let's get to work. We do have a short amount of time, so I do want to get with all the parents and all the youth that will want to be a part of the youth praise team again. So please see me at the church. Guys, let's stand up and get ready to go and leave this sanctuary and this house. And I want to say this, and this is all I'm going to leave you with. My uncle, God rest his soul, his favorite quote and his favorite line, it was in the song, but it says, "We walk by faith and not by sight." Okay? Can y'all say that with me? We walk by and not by. One more time. That was too weak. We walk by and not by. That's what I like to hear. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for everything that you have done for us, Father God. We thank you so much. As we get ready to exit your house, we ask that you cover each and every one of these individuals, Father God, as they get ready to go over the highways and byways, Father God. I ask that you just watch over them as they go about the week. If they have to go to work, Father God, watch over them. Watch over the youth as they get ready to go back to school, Father God. We know how hard that can be, Father God, and we just ask that you cover them and that you keep them near the cross where they know that you are the way, the truth, and the light, Father God. We thank you so much, and we ask that you just bless us. In your magnificent name, we do pray. Amen. Amen.